Okay, the boy side. Today's daf is daf Lamed Zayin. We're holding Lamed Vov Amud Beis. Three lines from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara begins a brayta. Tana Rabbanan. It says in the pasuk, "Chashartum liois al yodecha, v'ayu l'toy tefois bein einecha." The word yodecha means your hand or your arm. The question is, which hand, which arm? It could be the right one. It could be the left one. Zok the brayta. Yodecha zu smoy. We're talking about the left arm. Atayim is smoy any alim, and maybe it's the right one. Talmud loymar. I have three separate psukim. One pasuk is a pasuk in Yeshaya. Af yodi yosta eret v'mini tipcha shamoyim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, with my hand I established the earth, and with my right hand I measured the heavens. Now it says yodi and it says yemini. So by default, the yodi is the left one, and the yemini is the right one. The yomer have another pasuk. Yodi liyosi tishlachna v'mina lahalmes amelim. It's a pasuk we got the Yoel, who was about to go and kill Sisera. And what did Yoel do? She went and took a yoset. Yoset is a peg. And halmes amelim means a hammer, of workers. And she was about to go and kill him by knocking the peg into his head. So it says over here, yoda v'mina. So I see the yoda means by default must mean the left one. The oimer, lo matosh v'yadach v'mincha v'minecha mikerev chekcha chalei. Here you have again the lashon of yodcha v'minecha. Is the chasimin v'minecha is talking about the right arm, right hand, right arm. And yodcha must be by definition the left one. So I have three separate psukim that identify yad stam as being left. So therefore, presumably, when it says Ukshatum Yoy Sal Yadakha, it also means the left one. We're continuing the same braisa, and Rabbi Yosi Achoyrim asks. Now before we get into what he asks, who is Rabbi Yosi Achoyrim in the first place? So the top Rashi says that unfortunately Rabbi Yosi had a mum like you find by the Kahanim. It says by a Koyin that if you have a Koyin who has Surua oikolut or chorum oisurua, chorum is considered to be a blemish, considered to be a mum. And Rabbi Yosi had that mum. The question is, what is the mum that we are referring to? The top Rashi says chuk meshuka, means that his nose was submerged. Instead of our noses where they stick out, his nose was submerged. Can remember b'chayis chorum zeshe chuk meshuka. And therefore, we're talking about Rabbi Yosi, who had the obvious submerged nose blemish. Tosis is very upset about this pshat, and Tosis says, how could it be that throughout Shas we should give Rabbi Yosi this title that he is the Chorum one, the one that's going Nebuch with his Choit Moishikua? It says Choireim, I know, it says on the side Chorum. But the point is, how can you go and say something like that? You're going to go and embarrass Rabbi Yosi throughout all generations. Every time we learn this Gemara, we're going to say, oh, he is the one with the submerged nose. And therefore, says Tosis, El Al Shem Mekoi my Nikra Kain. There was a place called Choyrim Chorim, and that's why it was called Rabbi Yosi Choyrim Chorim. Yeah, what would you like to say?
Shimon ben Anas, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. We have many instances where Tanoim are called by names that are not flattering.
So Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, Tosis brings that Yesh, I'm not here, but elsewhere, that Yesh, I'm that Korcha is referring to Rabbi Akiva, and the reason is because one of the Tanoim referred to him as the Kireach Hazer, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha is referring to that, and Tosis immediately knocks it down and says, Chas Yisholim, it's impossible that the Shah should always refer to Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha by derogatorily referring to Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, doesn't mean Rabbi Akiva, it means Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, and that was his name. There's an interesting pshat the article brings from a sefer, Seder HaDoiris, or Toiris Rishoinim, who says that the Gemara, the Rashi and Tosis are quoting that Chorim Zeh Shechot Mei Meshuka. If you look up the Gemara Masechtas Bechoris, they don't have it here, but I looked it up, in fact, last night. Maybe it isn't one of these Gemaras here. Anyway, it says over there, Frank the Gemara, exactly what is Chorim? The Amar Rabbi Yosi, that Chorim means that you can be Koichel Shtei Einav Keachas, that the nose, which in between the two eyes, is so submerged, that you can go, and a woman that goes and shmears with her eye makeup on her eyes doesn't have to go and take a break between one eye and then jump over the bridge of the nose and go to the second eye, but you can go and shmear both eyes at one time. Says the Seyda Doirois, Rabbi Yossi, from the famous Chazal where he explained what the word chorah means, he's the one that continue to explain this. And therefore that Rabbi Yossi is just this Sam Rabbi Yossi in Chazal. Rabbi Yossi in Chalafta. Why pinked over here that the Torah, the Gemara refers to him as the Rabbi Yossi Achorim? I don't know. Could be because when it comes to Tefillin, it's got to be that the Tetov is Bein Einecha. So therefore he has a Pshashtikul Shaykhis to the din of Tefillin, because we're talking about Bein Oinayim, the person is Chorim. So not that Rabbi Yossi Chas V'Sholem was Chorim. Rabbi Yossi was Gesund, fine like everybody else. But he was a famous Rabbi Yossi. When he came to Beis Medrash, they would say, oh, he's the one that explained the mum of chorum, that it means choyt moy mishukah.
Anyway, like it's Rabbi Yitzchak Migdola.
Exactly.
The halacha is known by the halacha that he's famous for.
Which you're saying is correct. The only thing is that we don't find Rabbi Yitzchak Migdola anywhere else. But we do find Rabbi Yossi everywhere else, and we never refer to him elsewhere as Rabbi Yossi HaChorim or Rabbi Yossi HaChorim.
This is the Rabbi Yossi that was Rabbi Yossi.
According to this, Seyda Doiris, this Rabbi Yossi is the famous Rabbi Yossi that you have throughout Shas, who was Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. How do we know his name is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta? Because he often refers in the Gemara to his father as Abba Chalafta. His father was Chalafta, is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. There's another Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, but that's a separate individual, not the Rabbi Yossi that you typically find. Stop! Anyway, look at Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis Mendi. It's the last line of Mem Gimel Amid Beis. You'll see Rabbi Yossi Oimer, that is Koicha Shtei Einav Keachas. Okay? Mem Gimel Amid Beis, Gamzul Efe. You have that? Last line, what does it say?
Mem Gimel
Amid Beis. Mem
Gimel Amid Beis. Yossi Oimer.
Wow.
Ein Chorim Ella HaKoicha Shtei Einav Keachas.
Oh, it's Rabbi Mendel Balak Halaydi, who had your time of the 7th Shuruk last week. Sam Zayda is telling us as Oitaki Shteit in the Gemara and Daf Mem Gimel in Mesechus Bechoris. Rabbi Yossi explains what does Chorim mean, Koicha Shtei Einav Keachas, and that's why he refers to Rabbi Yossi Achorim for that famous Chazal that he said. Anyway, continuing on, Rabbi Yossi Achorim Oinam Matzinam Yamin Shenikra Yad. We find that Yamin is called Yad. In other words, says Rabbi Yossi, I respectfully disagree with the Tanakhama that says that I have three psukim that Yad is called, or Yad Smoil is called Yad. I'll show you. It says in the pasuk, Vayar Yosef ki Yoshes Ovid Yad Yeminai. Oh, so you see the word Yad is used, and it's referring to the right hand. Says Dr. Rabbi Yossi, Matzino Yamin Shemikra Yad. So your three psukim are not conclusive proof that Yodecha means the left hand. It might mean the right hand, like we find by Yosef, the Idach, and the other Mandiyam, in other words, the Tanakama, that feels that Stam Yad means smile. Idach Yad Yeminoi Ikri, Yad Stam Aloi Ikri. Of course I agree with you that it says in the Pasuk, by Yad Yosef Ki Yoshes Oviv Yad Yeminoi. If the Torah wants to say right hand, the Torah says Yad Yamin. It says it very clearly. If it just says Yad alone, no, Yad alone just means smite. You want to say Dafka Yad Yamin, then you add the word Yamin, if anything. That's a riot to me. But the fact that the Torah says Yad Yamin, because only Yad is Dafka smite. What was Rabbi Yossi Achorim's Havimin al-Chorim? This is Shver. So Toysis addresses that, the second Toysis, that the same Pasuk afterwards, which talks about Yaakov Avinu putting his hands on the two Ephraim and Manasseh, Yosef ki Yoshes Oviv Yad Yeminoi, then the Pasuk continues on, Vayismoich Yad Oviv. And there it doesn't identify right or left, but it's referring back to the earlier part of the Pasuk, Ki Yoshes Oviv Yad Yeminoi. So there, the word Yad is written without the word Yemin. Says Toysis, and near the Biyosi Nami Ahu Kasama, the second Toysis, third line, the Biyosi Seimech on that. And the reason why the din of Yad is referring to Yemen, because that pasuk says Vayismach Yad Oviv. Period. It doesn't say Yemen. So how do I know that Yad Oviv is referring to Yemen? Because of the pasuk that the Gemara quotes. It's both the same pasuk. We have the Torah Ora Shalom on the right hand side. Vayar Yosef ki Yoshes Oviv Yad Yeminoi al Rosh Ephraim. Vayerav Einav. Vayismach Yad Oviv lahasir oisami al Rosh Ephraim. Meaning to pick up that Stam Yad. Stam Yad is therefore Yemen. So don't tell me Stam Yad means smile, like the Tanakhama says. I have a Perush Pasuk that it means Yemen. And of course, our Gemara would answer, Nishkaraya, because the only reason why Vayismach Yad Ovid means Yimim, because it's referring back to Kiyoshes Ovid Yad Yaminai Yad Yaminai Ikri Yad Stam Aloy Ikri. Okay. Anyway, so according to Bayez Echayim, I have no raya from the first three psukim. So let's bring another raya. Okay, so if you'd like to focus on that for a moment, back in our Gemara earlier on in our Masechta, we had that when it comes to Metzoyra, there are two times that we do hazois on the Metzoyra. We have number one with the dam, and then after that with the loik shemen. So when it says by the dam, it says you first put it on the Oznoi Hayimonis, Boyin Yodi Hayimonis, Boyin Ragla Hayimonis. And then when he does the Shemen, the Pasuk repeats it again. On the Oznoi Hayimonis, Boyin Yodi Hayimonis, Boyin Ragla Hayimonis, Al Mekoyim Damo Oshim, Al Damo Oshim. The Gemara asks, once he's saying it's Al Damo Oshim, why do you have to go and identify that it happens to be Boyin Yodi Hayimonis, Yodi Hayimonis, Ragla Hayimonis? After all, we know Al Damo Oshim. So the Gemara says, I learned up three dinim from that, that every Yad means Yad Yamin, every Oizen is Oizen Ayimani, and when it says regular means regular money. Which three? Simora said Yad Yad the Kmitza, Oizen Oizen the Ritzia, the Gabi Nevid Ivri, and regular Gabi the Halacha of Choltan Nalim Aragloi, Gabi Din of Chalitza. So what you can ask over here is, based on that Gemara, why don't we say the same thing over here too? That's Tam Yad, you learn from the Din of Metzoyra, Yad, Yema, Yad, not only for Kemitza purposes, also for purposes of Legabe Ardinap, where you put on the tefillin on which arm? That's left. Yeah, good to kasha. Yeah. It shouldn't be left, it should be right, because we learn Yad. Anyway, it's not my kasha, it's the bottom toisis here on the Omid Beis, Lamed Vav Omid Beis, and that's what toisis is alluding to in three words in this toisis that you're asking about. Great toisis in the bottom, in Toim El, Ayata Le Yad de Metzoyra Lagmuri, Ayad de Kemitza. Why don't you go and say Yad also the Gabi Tfilin? So toisis, Yish Lafarish, the Nichal Lagmuri Hosam, Avoida Me Avoida. There we're talking about Avoida. You put the Dhamma Oshim, you put the Loik Shaman, that's Avoida. Kemitza is Avoida. It's not Avoida here, you're talking about Tfilin. But the toisis said, why can't you learn both? Toisis by himself, the reason is because here the Yad is a different Yad than that one. Because there the Yad is talking about the palm of the hand. Here we're talking about the arm. Hand and arm, they're both called Yad, but they're different quality to them, different character to them. So therefore you don't learn it from inside. And that's what Toys is alluding to at the end of that Toys here on the Amid Aleph.
Do we have a small body in the Torah?
Do we have a what?
Yeah, but he says he pours because he has to put his shaman.
Puts Loik Shaman in his palm, and then he goes and puts his finger and he does the Hazorah. Okay, but it's in his palm. He doesn't put it on his arm where he put the tefillin, he puts it in his palm. Anyway, getting back to Gemara, so how do I know now the din of left arm? Reb Nosson Oimer, fourth line to the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Reb Nosson Oimer in the Torah. I don't need the three psukim that we had of the Tanakhama. Why not? Because we have another pasuk. Ukshartem, uksavtem. I have two psukim back to back. The din of kshira of shartlo yisayidach v'toz v'benenecha. Uksavtem al mezuzah beisach v'sherecha. Maxim v'yamin, afshir v'yamin. Just like when you write the mezuzah, you write it with your right hand. Explains Rashi, because most people are righties, and therefore stam ksiva will be with the right hand, and therefore the same thing would apply to the putting on the tefillin. Ukshartem, you have to go and be kosher with your right hand. You can only make a kesher with the right hand if you're putting it on the left hand. If you're putting it on the right hand, you'd have to make it for kesher with the left hand. You need one hand to work with the other one. Good. Give him a hand. Sari oy mikshad uksav maksi b'yamin af kshira b'yamin. Even the kshira b'yamin anocha b'smiley. Of course, this Gemara is now suggesting what happens with a lefty, that he writes with his left hand. The Gemara will address lefties further down on the Omid and Mierza Hashem. Rabbi Yosi Achoyrim was we learned there, Hanocha de Bismol Minole. How does Rabbi Yosi Achoyrim know Hanocha on the left arm? After all, he rejected the three psukim of the Tanakhama. He learns like Ramnosan learned. Don't learn it from the three psukim of the Amid Beis, rather learn it from Yar Yosef Kiyosh, I'm sorry, learn it from Ramnosan. Ramnosan said, Ksharta Maksavta Maksiva Biamin, Afshir Biamin. That's one text. Rabashi Omar, I have another mekor for the din of the left arm, which is the one that everybody, most people are familiar with. It says miyodcha. Besides miyodcha, one time it says in the Torah, ukshat miois al yodecha al yodcha. It doesn't say yud dalid with a langa chav. It says yud dalid chav hey. Ah, Ksiv Behei. What's the reason why the Torah wrote Yod Cho Chof Hey? So that you should read it Yad Keha. Keha means the duller or weaker arm. Yad Keha, you put it on the left hand because most people are righties and therefore the left arm is considered to be the weaker one. Who says that the word Yodcha should be darshined Yod Keya? After all, we know that Aleph Hey Ches and Ayin Arm is Chalev. Why don't you say that the Keya should be written or read as if it says Koyach, Yad Koyach? And if you can read it, Yad Koyach is Pung Faker. It means on the right arm, not on the left arm. It doesn't say ches, it says a hey. So in other words, if there was no way of understanding and reading the pasuk other than saying that hey and ches are mischalif, you'd have a good takasha. But since the pshat in Yad Keya is equally plausible with a pshat of Yad Koyach, so there's no reason why I should go from hey to ches, just stay with hey and say Yad Keya, which means the left arm, which is the weaker arm and not the stronger arm, not Yad Koyach. So if you mark, come to Chos, we had now Machloikis in our Gemara, do we darshan from this Yodcha Yadkeo or not? So you mark, what's like a Machloikis? Anoim, Yodcha Behei Zu Smile, because of Yadkeo. No, I learned Yodcha Lerabi Seginim. Now, even though here the Yodcha is written with a long Chof, the Aleph changes it to Yodcha Yudalad Chof. Hey, it comes to tell you, I agree Yadkeo, but not to tell you the weaker arm, the left arm, but rather comes to be Mar with the Gidem. The Gidem literally means the amputee. However, Rashi over here says we're not talking about mamish an amputee, rather we're talking about someone who is a virtual amputee, because his arm unfortunately is very, very weak and mikulkeles. Look at Rashi, the Rabbi says a gidem, about 10 lines into the narrow lines of Rashi, she'ein lo yad, the yodcha, nothing, doesn't have yad at all. He has an arm, but now the arm doesn't function. Fortunately, you see people like this every once in a while, Rahman al-Islam, they do have two arms, but one of them is paralyzed, one of them just doesn't work, never for whatever reason. So that's the gidem that we're talking about. So even though it is not a workable arm, put the tefillin on that arm, because I taka learn Yad Keha, but not Yad Keha to tell you smile, but Yad Keha, the rabbi says gidem. Tani idach, ein lo izroya, potem in a tefillin. Person doesn't have an arm at all, that was never amputated, potem in a tefillin. Chayin amoyimim, yodcha l'rabbis is a gidim. That same yodcha l'rabbis is a gidim we just had a moment ago. Excuse me, that you go and a person that has such an arm that nebuch is not, doesn't really work, you still put on the tefillin on that arm. Is there a machloikis between the Tanakama and Achayim? Both of them are saying separate halachas. Tani idach in lo Israel, if you don't have an arm at all, nebuch amputated part of the tefillin. Achayim say, but if you do have an arm, even though the arm doesn't work, nevertheless you put tefillin on that arm. So if you look at the third choices from the top, fourth choices, in lo Israel, part of the tefillin, mar amachad, there's no machloikis over here. They both agree. Tana Kama says his thing, no arm, no tefillin. Achayim say, yes arm, even though it's a weak arm, weak in the sense that nebuch, it doesn't work, paralyzed, whatever. Put tefillin on that arm, nevertheless. Tana Rabban, Iter Yad. Iter Yad means a person who is a lefty. Meniach tefillin b'yimina. He puts his tefillin on his right arm. Shehu smoyloi, because for him, that's his smoy. So in other words, the Tana Kama here is learning like the drasha that Rav Ashi brought Aliba de Rav Yosi Achoyrim, and that is that it says Yodcha, which is the weaker arm, the Heik, the Yad Keha, the weaker arm. It says Taka by the regular people that are righties, their arm that is weaker is the left. But the lefties, for them, the right hand happens to be the weaker one. Okay, so that for the each of the Tulim, you mean I choose one. Great, you want about Tanya? We have in the Braisa, Meniach Besmoiloi, Shu Smoiloi Shel Kol Adam. It says that even the lefty should wear the tefillin on the left arm, because he becomes like Bottle Daitoi Eitzel Roiz B'nei Adam. So even though he happens to be a lefty, but the Tata says the left arm, so he should also put on the left arm. Itok Shver. Amar Abayi Kitanya Hi B'Shoyle B'Shtei Yodav. That's talking dafke a person who is Shoyle B'Shtei Yodav. In other words, a person who is what do they call it, ambidextrous, that he can go and work with both arms. He can be a switch pitcher, a switch hitter in baseball, etc. He can write with both arms, with both hands. So a person like that, here it says in this braisa, since both the right and the left are equal as far as he's concerned, so neither of them is really his yakeya, oh, then he should put him a smile because that's smoyla shel koladim. Al yadecha zu kiboyres, beinecha zu kodkoid. So focusing again on the pasuk, ukshatum liois al yadecha boy letotofa is beinecha. What is the definition of the word yad? Now yad normally means a hand, and hand would normally mean.
Yeah, we have a famous story about Linda Pollock about the tefillin right left, where he. At one point, was wearing it
on. I will allow the Mendel Pollack to tell the famous story about the Mendel Pollack.
I was born a lefty. My father, being a European Yid, it was frowned upon to be different than everybody else. So I learned to write with my right hand. I went to a Chashan Rav. He said, write with your right hand. You're now a righty. Put on your left hand your tefillin. And so it was for several years. I was in Masifta in high school, and I felt a little bit sensitive. I didn't feel it was proper. I went to Rav Moshe Bick, that's how, a major paisik in Brooklyn, in the Hamish Island. And I told him my situation. He asked me one question. Which hand would you knock a nail in and hold the nail with the other hand? And I said unequivocally, I will definitely use my left hand, knock the nail. Wouldn't take a chance using my right hand, and I might hurt my other nail. Said, you're a lefty. And I switched my tefillin on that basis. And he felt that that was my strong hand, obviously, my right hand. I came with my left hand, obviously. So I put the tefillin from then on, out of yoing, on my right hand.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Good. Shkoyach Remendel. Shkoyach from Rabbi Shai. Thanks for reminding us. Oh, see you, Shane.
7 years ago.
Good. A couple of years ago. Yeah, exactly. And we continue by telling Marty. Marty says that you go and put the tefillin on the yad. Yad could very well mean the palm of the person's hand. That's what a hand is. Says you more, no. You put on the kiboris. Kiboris means on the muscle, on the biceps, which of course is where we put it, in between the elbow and between the shoulder. That's the yad. We're talking about the arm, and we're not talking about the hand. It doesn't mean literally between the eyes, but means that you put it on the front of the head on top. Heicha, where exactly do you mean on kodkoid? Kodkoid literally means the skull. So you have the whole head, where are you going to put it? Right face. At the very beginning of the head, next to the hairline, that's where, by a small child, a small baby, if you look very, very carefully, you can see that every time he breathes, or every time he eats or drinks, you can see that that top is very, very soft, and in fact, it sometimes moves up and down when the baby moves up and down. So that's the kodkoid. In English, is a fancy term called the fontanelle. But anyway, that's where you put the tefillin on, at the top of the head. This is a very fascinating remark. Flamoy asked Rebbe, "Mishiyesh l'shtei roshim." Beizman minichtel. When happens if a person has two heads? After all, two heads are better than one. So when the person has two heads, which one should you put the tefillin on? On the right head or on the left head? Rebbe was not amused with this question, and Omalani said to Flamoy, "Oy kumgali, either you should go into Golis, in other words, leave the yeshiva, get out of here. Oy kabel alecha shamti, you want to stay? You have to take upon yourself a cheder. What's the reason why?" Says Rashi, "Ta'achuche chayches bi. You're obviously mocking me by asking such ridiculous questions." So immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to save face for Flamoy, to show that Flamoy was not just bothering Rebbe with Narishkeit. It's Adahochi, also who Gabra, a person comes in. Omalani told me, he told Rebbe, "I have a Shaila Rebbe, it's Yalili Yanuka, the Islay Trei Reishi. He Taka had a baby that was just born, and it was his Bechoyer, and the baby had two heads. Kama Be'ina L'meisa L'koyin. since he's a Bechor, how much do I have to pay to the Kohen? Should I go and give him 5 shkalim, or should I go and give him 10 shkalim? Now, what's the reason?
Can such a child live?
If you bear with us, Rabbi Isai, everything in Mietzeh will be addressed. At this point, we're still in the middle of the story, and the father is saying that my son has 2 heads. How much should I give to the Kohen? It's also who Saba. This Saba came, and Barry will remind us what means Ahu Saba.
Except for Shabbos, Lam, Gimel, Tel Yavinavi, according to Tosus and Chulin Davov.
Good. Chulin Davov on the top says that Yesh Omrim, that Ahu Saba is referring to Yavinavi, and Tosus is not happy because we're more in Shabbos. Ayin Shabbos. Anyway. So came perhaps Eliyahu Hanavi. Tonalein, he told him, Chayav Litan LaYitzchak, you have to go pay 10. What's the reason why you have to pay 10 instead of 5? We'll see Mirchem on the Omid Beis, because it says by Pinyin Aben that you give Chomish Kolim LaGulgoyles. Oh, for the skull, this guy has 2 Gulgoyles, and you got to go and pay double, 2 times 5. Okay, Freyti Gemara, Amy, you're telling me you have to go and pay 10 slides? But Tani Rami Bar Choma, we touch them, it says in the Pasik, Ach Podi Sifta Ace Bechor Ho Adam, Shemei Ani Afil Nitra Betoy Chlamid. I would think that even if this child dies as a result of some terrible, unnatural cause, Betoy Chlamid, Nitra means like he's been pulled away. We're not talking about a child that dies by natural death. Natural death, that means that he was not a bar kiyoma. He has the status of a nephil. Even though he was born, he's considered to be a nephil. But a child that had all of his functions, and Nebuch was killed in a car accident or whatever happened, so I would think you still have to go and give the pidyon. That's how Rashi learns pshat. Toises and others are not happy with that pshat, because Toises says, how do you know he would have lived if he wouldn't have been killed within the 30 days? Anyway, they learn the Pashup pshat. It doesn't say Nerag anymore, it says Nitra. What the Gemara is telling us is, Yochel, I would think, what happens if the doctors identify that this baby is Nebuchadrefa? In other words, they say the Nebuchad has a hole next to the heart, and it cannot live more than 60 days, 90 days, 3 months, whatever it happens to be. The baby is Nebuch a goner. In such a case, do you have to do pidyon or not? Tamad Loimar says about that. Cholak, in such a case, Yitaka would not have to go and pay pidyon aben. And therefore, Freitach Rashi, Mahinami, this child that has 2 heads, Kinitrav Dami, Sharla Yichya, which was Barry's point in the Amud Aleph. Can a child like this live? Bechayr or not? And if it cannot live, it has a din of a treif. The din of a treif, you just said, Akholak, you're a potter. Anthony Marshani Hocha, the Begulgoyles Tolerachmana. Here, by the 2-headed fellow, even though this baby could taka be a treifa, the posik of the Chomish Shkolim La Gulgoyles that Rashi quotes on the second line, that trounces, it supersedes the drosh of Acholak, and tells us that this is an exception to the rule. About a normal baby that's a treifa, you don't have a din opinion of it. But if the treifa is because it has 2 heads, since the Torah says Chomish Shkolim La Gulgoyles, then you go and pay the pidyon aben, and you have to pay double because the guy has 2 heads. That's the end of the story. So now, putting this whole story together, what the Gemara is telling us is that originally Rebbe got very upset. Why? There's no such thing. Then all of a sudden, guess what happens? Because Baruch Hu brings in this person that has the 2 heads. So you see, there is such a thing. So what are we going to do with Rebbe? Rebbe said there's no such thing. And the answer is, since Rashi has just told us that this child will not live, because after all has the status of a treifa, so you got to go and pay twice, like Ahu Saba said. However, this child is never going to live until the age of 13, and therefore Rebbe says, even Lu Yitzir, there is such a kid that would be born. Fine, Siddur Taka, mask it. But nevertheless, when you're talking about a situation of Taka, such a kid, he cannot exist until Bar Mitzvah, and therefore you're never going to have the Shaila of putting on Tefillin, so don't bring me klutzkashes, and that's why he told him, either leave, or go, or put you in Chayim. That's the Pashup Pshat Nagma. Now, the later Achroinim deal with the situation that came up in Thailand a couple of hundred years ago, where they had Siamese twins. Thailand used to be called Siam years ago, and that's how the expression Siamese twins comes, that they were Taka twins that were born, who were born together as one unit, and therefore it was 2 heads. this doesn't only have ramifications in our Gemara, this has ramifications in many different halachas that go throughout Chas. Is this person considered to be one person? Is it considered to be two people? The interesting thing is the toisis on the Omen Aleph that brings a ma'asim et ash medoy. If you look at the two toises from the bottom, oi kum gali. See that toises? Oi le mazeh lecha. In our time, toises says there is no such thing. It was someone that came from underneath the ground. This is a real an undercover agent or an underworld type of guy. Is Adam Echad, a person who had two heads. Venosa Ishi got married to a lady who only had one head. And they had two kids. One kid Kiyoitzibai Vishnei Rosh. And another kid, here's two heads, here's one head. Now, it has another major amplification. It comes now, Nebuch the father passed away. This Yerusha, I want to get two portions. Does he get two portions or only get one portion?
He was the Bechor, so he should get two portions.
What happens if neither of them were quiet? In other words, they had a girl. You were teasing. I understand.
I was being glib.
Yeah, okay.
Now should I go with the Cherem or should I be in Shas?
Now notice that Toysis finished off, we don't know the answers. But there's a Yud Ches, and the Yud Ches takes to the Shita Mekubetzes, and the Shita Mekubetzes tells us the answer, and it shows the Chachma of Shloim HaMelech. What's Yud Ches Shloim? Do you have that? Everybody say Shloim.
Yeah, we have a Chazayin in our in the thinner ones.
Nusach Achrena. Shloim HaMelech Masoi. Yirsiach Mayim. He went and took water and he heated it up. V'kisa Echman HaRoshim. And he covered over one of the two heads. V'shavach HaRoishchem Al Rosh Hashani. And he poured the hot water on the second head. Machmas Tzar HaRoishchem. Tzohak V'shnei Roshim. Both of the heads screamed out the same thing. In agony because of the hot water. Why? The other head that was covered wasn't even touched by the hot water. Why was it screaming? They didn't know the kishachet. Obviously, they come from one shaydish. These are not two separate kids. If they're two separate kids, you pour the hot water on, then why is the other one? It's the chassimah that's all one, and he only gave them one chelek yerusha. The chayra was that you'd have the same thing with the Siamese twins. Go and try it out. Pour the hot water on one of the two heads and see if the other one screams. If the other one screams, is the chassim that they really won. They're not two. Okay. Anyway, there are many, many shaylas. There's a very famous story about 35 years ago with Rav Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal. They say that Rav Moshe said that this was the most difficult shaila that he ever faced in his life. That it was a frum lady that gave birth to Siamese twins, and the doctors say you have one of two choices. If you're going to let these two kids live, then they will die eventually. It's not a viable child. It's just a question of time. However, you can do an operation to separate them. But then if you separate them, one of them will definitely die and one will definitely live. Question is, do you allow for the operation where one guy is going to die for the purpose of allowing the other one to live, as opposed to letting Chashashon both of them die? So this was a shayla that came to Rav Moshe Zatzal. Anyway, apparently he ultimately paskined that to go and save one of the two, since the doctors are saying the vadois that both are going to die, it's just a question of time, and we see that it's not a normal viable situation. So he said he permitted them to go and do the operation. They did the operation, and guess what? Unfortunately, both passed away anyway. So these are very, very difficult shaylos. There's a shaylah in Achiezer, Tshuvas Achiezer, whether a man is allowed to marry two women, meaning Siamese twins of two girls that are conjoined. And if we shaylah, we have the Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom says he came married to wives. Is this two wives or is this one wife?
One second, please, if you bear with me.
This is a shaylah in Achiezer, and he goes through a whole shaklat atayah. Later, poskim say it's a pella on the Achiezer because he forgot one major nekuda. That one major nekuda is what Barry was just alluding to, and that is, you're talking about shtei achoyes. If you're talking about that these two girls are considered to be two separate entities, he would not be able to marry because he can't go marry two sisters. So it's not just a question whether it's one person or two people, it's a question of marrying two sisters. Yeah, anyway.
Didn't forget that halacha.
But
Chaim Meiser knew it.
But
now it's
of course.
He obviously felt
you have. I hear what you're saying. When there's a pasuk ketoyis a yoytzim epi hashalit, even a shalit, the great king, the person, the god of Hador. None of us are perfect. The only one that's perfect is only Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody else is fallible. Anyway, the Gemara doesn't tell us that. You should do further research when you go home and check it out on Wikipedia if he did it.
And it's Sivus, right?
Anyway, Zog Morbait Omamar Yod Chozu Kiboris. Kiboris means on the left arm, on the muscle. How do you know? The Torah but Al Yodecha Zugoy Vishabiyad. This means the upper portion of the arm and not in your palm. Atoim Zugoy Vishabiyad NLA Yad Chamamish. Maybe you're supposed to walk around with a tefillin in your hand. One hand you carry a sitter, and the other hand you have your tefillin. The same pasuk says both on the head and on the arm. You put it on the upper part of the head, in other words, on the top of the head. That's kind of the guy. You put it on the upper part of the arm. The most upper part of the arm, in terms of protruding from the arm, you have the biceps, you have the muscle. Oh. That's the goy v'shebiyani. You don't need that pasuk. The fact that it says l'chol ois comes to tell you that you have to see the ois. It doesn't say that I have to see the ois. And therefore, if you put it in your palm, everybody would see it because you walk around with your palm. Mashenkin, if it happens to be on your arm, then it becomes concealed, especially if you're wearing a talus, if you're wearing a shirt with sleeves, etc. So it's l'chol ois v'leilach. I don't need that pasuk. And it says ukshartem shetei sima keneged alev. You put the tefillin shliyad next to the heart, and that's where you do the ksharetem, the kshira. Oh, so it means taka on the muscle, which is parallel to the heart.
That's why we keep it covered.
That's why we taka do keep it covered for that reason. Mash enkim the tefillin shel roish is supposed to keep it uncovered. So they were talking mechavin to go and put it next to the heart, like we do it. In fact, even in the Yerotzen, it also talks about kineged alev, and therefore you put the heart next to the arm, more or less the same location. Ravashi Avi also came to the Amema. Have tiraya biyodei become mischazian tefillin. He had a problem with tirai biyod. What's my tirai biyod? He says Rashi, he had some sort of maka, some sort of wound next to the muscle, and as a result, if you would put the tefillin on and you'd pull the sleeve down, that would cause discomfort and perhaps pain and anguish to that maka next to the kibayis. So what did he do? They went and made a small hole there, the mokama tefillin, so when he had the tefillin on, it would be relieved, there wouldn't be that pressure on that maka. But as a result of making that hole in the sleeve of the shirt, then you were able to go and see the tefillin. Oy vavoy, we just said now, l'cholioys, v'l'lachemioys. Isn't that a problem? That's what he asked. Again, he had such a problem with his amaka on his arm. Become mischazi in tefillin, you can see the tefillin. Don't you have a problem? Avadi, you're right. You're supposed to go and put it on the muscle. It should be the choli ois or the chen ois. But it doesn't mean subjective. You look at the individual wear of the tefillin. This is an objective halacha that applies to Klal Yisrael. That you have to put it b'makom the choli ois. In my case, in a chrami, it is visible. But at least this is the place that normally would be the choli ois for the chen ois, and therefore it's not a problem. How do you know Taka Bishiroish? Maybe Taka be Bein Einecha, literally between the eyes. The Tanur Rabban, Bein Einecha Zugo Bishiroish. It means on top of the head. Atoim Zugo Bishiroish, Bein Einecha, Bein Einecha, Mamish. Nemekam Bein Einecha, Vimlalon, Leisima Korcha Bein Einecha, Lameis. And now that they're supposed to make a Korcha, Chas Hashem, someone passes away. You're not supposed to pull out your hair literally or make a bald spot on your head. The reason is because that's the Darki Amoiri, that's the way the Amoiris used to do it. Therefore, you're now let it go of the chukas agoyim and the chukas of the Amorim. Aha. Okay. Now, Malon, just like over there by the korcha ben aneichem is referring to the goy v'shemarosh, mokish oiz the korcha, afkav v'shemarosh, mokish oiz the korcha. In other words, we're learning tefillin from the din of leisasima korcha ben aneichem. But maybe that ben aneichem is also referring to literally between the eyes. That cannot be, because we're talking about making a korcha, making a bald spot. You can only make a bald spot where there is hair growing. Between the two eyes there is no hair which grows. It only grows on top of the head. So therefore, just like that Ben Enecha means lav dafka, means on top of the head, here too Ben Enecha means on top of the head. If you know you made a tzarach, you don't need that pshat. Amr teyachad nochab pshat. Hanach tefillin biyad, hanach tefillin beroish. Ma'al alam ha-mokam ha-roi li-tamei b'neg ha-echad. Afkhan ha-mokam ha-roi li-tamei b'neg ha-echad. Afuki b'nein ha-echad, di-ika basar v'seyar, di-ika seyar lov, and di-ika nabi seyar tzar. When you go through Parshish Tazriya Matayra, and it talks about the various negoyim, so when it talks about a nega on a person's skin, it says that growing out of the nega, out of the beheres or out of the seis, what did you have growing out? You had seir loven. Bine seir loven ba beheres. Then, of course, you have to go and check the first week, the second week, tzayna muskim, tzayna mukhlat. But ultimately, if it stays, then the person is branded an official mitzayra based on seir loven. However, later on in the same parasha, when it talks about a nega on the person's head, a nesek b'roish, there talks about whether tsehar tsahayv samachba, whether a golden or yellowish type of hair grew out. So you see that they're two separate negoyim. A nega basar is a sehar lavan, and a nega on the head is a sehar tsahayv. Ah, it says the Gemara now, since we're being makish, the yad, to the roish, malalon, just like by the yad, it's makam roi li tomi benega echad, that nega echad be the seyar lovan, afkan, when we're talking about the tefillin shibaroish, afkan is umma makam roi li tomi benega echad, we're talking about one nega, which means on top of the head, where the nega would be the seyar tzohoy, afkan, when we talk about bein einecha, it's got to be the same type of thing, only one nega. Lafuke bein einecha, the ikar basar this seyar, because literally, if you think about it, between the eyes, you have the eyelashes and the eyebrow, and the eyebrow shkayach, that of course is seyar, and then you have also the skin between the two eyes. And as a result, in this mokim where you put your tefillin there, then you'd be covering both the basar and the seyar, and therefore you'd have two simonim for this person, the chas v'shalom, become a mitzayir. Ika seyar lovan, if it grew out on the skin between the two eyes, and you also have the seyar tzoy, if it grew out of the eyelashes or the eyebrow, that you had the golden hair growing out. Ah, and since I'm making a hekesh of roish to yad, just like by yad, which is totally skin, there's no hair over there, you're saying that there's only one nega, so bein necha, by tzvillin is also talking about a place where there can only be one nega, and therefore that means on top of the head, and not between the eyes. So we have, therefore, at least two rayas, one from the pasuk like to see mekarcha bein nechem, and the second one because we are medame roish to yad, and therefore it's got to be on top of the head, and not between the eyes. Okay, now we leave tefillin for a moment and we go to Hilchos Tzitzis.
Is that why, so the case of, that's why the shalosh has to be behind the hairline? Because that's the...
That's the mokum shalatinik roifis, exactly where the kotkot is. Exactly right. Arba tzitzir mach vizu azusha abat and mitzvah achaz. Azusha state the Tanakama in our Mishnah, the Mishnah we had back on Daf Chof Ches Omer Aleph. Seems like a long time ago. That's what it said in the Mishnah, that all four tzitzis are one mitzvah. Rabbi Yishmael Aymer, in the same Mishnah, no, that all four tzitzis are four separate mitzvahs. So Machloikis is considered to be one mitzvah or four mitzvahs. What's a nafkimina? The Gemara gives us three nafkiminas. Nafkimina number one, Amar Rabbi Yosef, sadin betzitzis ikimenai. Sadin is referring to, normally you say sadin today is a sheet, or really mean that the beged, says Rashi, is made out of pishtar. Pishtar means out of linen. The tzitzis are made out of wool. Now, tzitzis don't have to be made out of wool, except for the tcheves tzitzis. Tcheves tzitzis, by definition, have to be made out of wool. Ah! So if you're putting wool tzitzis on a beged shel pishtan, that would normally be shatnez. However, the Torah says, here you're allowed to do that. That's exeus akosim, that the din of tzitzis, you're allowed to go and put on wool tzitzis on a sadin beged, meaning a beged made out of linen. Ah, but now we have to add one more knesh. And kind of ikachosim in a sefer, Rashi says it's talking about a situation where this sadin, he only put tzitzis on three corners, he didn't put it on four corners. For instance, he didn't have the tzitzis, and missing tzitzis was torn, whatever, and he only had tzitzis on three corners, not on four corners. So now, If you're going to go and tell me that it's all mitzvah achas, the problem is, since he only has three, and he doesn't have four, he wasn't yoitz's mitzvah of arba kamtzis. Since he wasn't yoitz's mitzvah, the person is carrying and wearing shatnez. Oy vavoy. No good. How according to Mishmor, that each one is a separate mitzvah b'fnei atzmoy, so even though he's not mekayim four mitzvahs, he's mekayim three mitzvahs. And each one of the mitzvah is a case of the asay, dochaloy says, the asay of the tzitzit being dochaloy says of shatnez, and therefore, no problem. That's why that would be one nafkimina. Rabbi Bar, he know Omar Talis Balas Chomish Yikminai. What happens if you have a Talis that has five quarters? And the one is going to tell us in another few lines that I dash him from Asher to Chasaba to go and tell me that even if you have a beggar of five quarters, it's also Mechuyev Betzitzis. Now the question is, fine, it's Mechuyev Betzitzis. But does that mean that you have to go and put Tzitzis on the fifth corner? Or that just means you put on four corners, and the fifth one you just leave the stamazoy. So Rashi says, according to the Tanakhama that says it's all mitzvah achas, although the Torah goes and has a giluy of asher to chasaba to be marbe a five cornered beged, it only tells you that it has the din of tzitzis that you have to put on tzitzis on the four corners, but not on the fifth one. However, Kuntra Bishmal that says that each one is a separate mitzvah, so if you have four corners, you have four mitzvahs, and you have five corners, you have five mitzvahs, and therefore you should go and put tzitzis on the fifth one after all. So he's a trashy pshat in this nafkimina. Third nafkimina, Rabbeinu Omar Derav Huna Ikeminai. A person who's going out in the street with a posel talis, posel tzitzis, for whatever reason, it wasn't mitzias kil chasa. On Shabbos chayiv chatas. Why is it chayiv chatas? Because he is carrying. We're talking about a place where there is no eruv, and therefore he's just carrying. Now, if it would be a kosher talis, then there's no problem. Because when you wear a kosher talis, that's what the Torah says, that's how you're supposed to wear it. So then the tzitzis attached to the talis, that's the proper, just like a person is allowed to go with clothing outside, he's allowed to wear pants and a jacket and all the rest, it's not considered to be carrying, that's derech levisha. That's derech levisha. However, if the talis is not a kosher talis, because the tzitzis are not kosher, the tzitzis are posel, for whatever reason, then according to everybody holds like Rav Huna, you're chayv chatas on carrying on Shabbos.
It's still clothing though, isn't it? It's still covering them.
The tzitzis.
The tzitzis
are a masoi, because they're not properly getzitzist. So because they're possible for whatever reason.
Now,
so you're 100% right. I cannot tell you about the Baron Soloveitchik, but that certainly sounds right. But in my own yeshiva, we learned by Rav Pala Zatzal. Rav Pala was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav, and Rav Pala Zichron Lebracha, as well as his children, on Shabbos, whenever they came into the yeshiva, the first thing they did was they went into a private room, into an office, and then they came out 5 minutes later, and after davening was over and everybody said goodbye, again they went into a room, and again they came out 5 minutes later, and what everybody said was that they were putting on and taking off their talis cotton by going into the room. In other words, on Shabbos they did not wear a talis cotton outside. The reason why they didn't wear outside is because it doesn't have tcheitas b'zman hazeh, and therefore they felt that maybe the tzitzis is not, you're not yoitzet. So the whole week they did not, because you don't wear, they would have a cotton beged, not a cotton beged, they would have a wool beged, and they have wool tzitzis, you don't have a problem with shatnez. Worst comes to worst, you're not yoitz in the mitzvah, it's not tzitzis, okay? So you weren't yoitz in the mitzvah, you did the best you could, you don't have tzitzis. But in Shabbos, if you have a problem that it's fossil tzitzis, oy bye bye, then you're going to be chai v'chatz. So they didn't wear it. As soon as they came into yeshiva, they immediately took off the shirts, put on the talis, put the shirt back on, etc., put on the talis cotton, and then, so they have the mitzvah throughout the day when they're indoors. As soon as they were ready to leave, they took it off again because of this situation. Shkoyach, Brother Shai, for reminding us.
How can they make a bracha on talis then? If they're so concerned that's not simply proper mitzvah, or halvatollah, maybe also tremendous avera.
For all I know, maybe they don't. Maybe they take it on mikabra. I never asked them, nobody ever brought that to my attention, but you have a very good point, man. Efshe takanish. Anyway, of course, the bracha is not ma'akits. Maybe they take it on mikabra. Maybe they even have sheva malchits. Question. Anyway, but what does it have to do now with the machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shmuel? So Rashi says, both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shmuel hold that if it's taka, talish, enim, tziyatz, kilchosa, it's not properly getzitzis. tzitzis are too short, not the right material, whatever it happens to be, chayv chatzis, everybody agrees. The machlokes between them would be, in the case like we had by the sadin, the tzitzis, that he only had tzitzis on three of the four corners. Where according to the Tanakhama, since it's all one mitzvah, if you only have tzitzis on three corners out of four corners, it's basel, and therefore that is a classic case, just like Rav Huna, it's basel. Chayv chatzis, if you don't have four, you put on three. If you don't have three, you put on two. You do the best you can. And therefore, each one is a separate mitzvah. So therefore, it's not a problem of being over on carrying a masui outside of Shesed Avim, and therefore, you would not be chayv chatzis. What is this all about? A person that has a four-cornered beggar, and he cut off one of the corners, so that now he thinks to himself that perhaps he's now potter from tefillin, because there are only three corners. He's parted from tzitzis because he thinks he only has three corners. What he has done is liyavolikum, he hasn't accomplished anything. Instead of going and removing a corner, he's actually added a corner. Because if you think about it, when you cut off that fourth corner, then you have now two corners. It becomes like a five-cornered beggar. The eighth is by the litvisher that have the long fracks. So then the shayla the gabi tzitzis. So you'll notice if you look carefully that one of the corners is not square, but it's rounded off. And they say the reason why it's rounded off is that you shouldn't have a shayla in tzitzis. Anyway, that's the long fracks, and you have this long divide in the back. Good. Next time you see a frock, check it out. Amra Misharshim, how you mandit Tzayr Leglime, Le'ov of Le'kub. Maitama, the command the Shari Yadami. Tzayr Leglime means that he had a very long beged, and he went and folded up part of that beged in such a manner, and ulta Tzayr. Tzayr means that he did ksharim, he made like loops at the end, probably with buttons or with pins or whatever, to go and shorten the beged, but he did in such a way to round off the corner so that he only would have three corners by folding it one corner. He folded it up and tying it. He tied it with some sort of string, some sort of thread, whatever. Anyway, he thinks he only has a three-cornered beged, my time to command the Shari Dami, because eventually somebody's going to open up the knots, he's going to open up the buttons and all the rest, and it's going to become a four-cornered beged, and therefore he's chayv. So this temporary fix doesn't work.
We don't look at it as it is right now as three-cornered. We look at it in its created state. It was created as a four-cornered garment, mm-hmm. and it remains so.
But not only because that was the Ovan, also talking about the Osir. We know for sure at some point somebody's going to go and untie it and open it up. This is just a temporary situation. The reality of this beggar is that it's four-cornered, even though temporarily you went and tied it up. Utananam in Abarayat. Kalachamoses hatzururois tohoirois chutz mishel aryim. What means chamoses hatzururois? A chemes is a, Rashi says, annoyed. We call it today a flask, a canteen. And to go and hold in it water or any other substance, you have to go and either stitch it up or tie it up or do something, because if it's open, the contents will fall out. So instead of actually stitching it up, he only went and tied it up. He made ties on the bottom to hold it in place. The halacha is, it's not mekabel tumah. Why is it not mekabel tumah? Because we learn from the pasuk, kli eitz, oy oyer, oy sak, kol kli asher yovei mayim v'hem, mayim yuvah, v'tumi atzer v'tayim. That pasuk is by the kli midyan, and from there we learn the din that a kli eitz as well as an oyer, they all have to be like a sak, which is metaltel moli v'rek, and they have to have a kli kibbel. So this noid has to have a clay kibble. So even though temporarily it has a clay kibble, because you have tied the bottom by putting various ties together, but since this is only a temporary fix, it's not considered to be a real kli. Or Rashi says, because the kli ultimately is nokev kimoitzi rimoin, this big hole, so therefore it's not a clay kibble, and it's not mekabel tum. However, says the same Mishnah, chutz mishel aryim, except if you're talking about those that are used by the Arabs in Arabia. Why? Says Rashi, the darkim mekach. That's how all of their flasks were manufactured. Whenever they formed them, they never stitched it up to make a perfect fold, but rather they did such a fold with these temporary, with buttons or with ties,
it was,
whatever.
It was clean out soft leather. They were like a balloon.
Okay, if you have a copy, please bring it in tomorrow. But the point is that a standard chemes, we're saying, is tahar, it's not mekabel tumah. Why, even though temporarily it's tied up, eventually those ties are going to be opened up, either naturally or by people opening them. So the same thing applies to this talus, even though you folded it and you tied it and you put in buttons of it, it's only a temporary fix. What happens if instead of making this temporary stuff, he actually went and took it to a chayit, to a tailor, or he himself went and sewed up, he took this four-cornered garment, the fourth corner he folded up and he stitched it up, and now it's round at that point, and therefore the choyer, I should say, well, this is already much more sophisticated. He actually stitched it, with the ganze masa, so it should be only three-cornered beged, and it should be parter from tzitzis. Again, if in fact he intended this to be permanent, he could have just cut off that corner and then stitched up a little bit. The fact that he went and folded it up and stitched up is a simon that eventually they may want to use that piece of garment, and therefore, since eventually they're going to use it, it's like the previous case that it's also kiman d'shariyah dami. You look upon it as if it's the full four corners, and your stitching really hasn't accomplished anything. Rabbi Shmuel Leimar about the Arva Mitzvahs, which we quoted already before. Rabbi Shmuel holds the four separate mitzvahs. I'm Yidah, I'm Shmuel, Alokah, Rabbi Shmuel. We pass on Rabbi Shmuel that the four mitzvahs, and we have the three nafki minutes that the Gemara said before. However, to less Hilchas Kavasa, even though Rabbi Yudah Shmuel said we pass on Rabbi Shmuel, but we don't pass on Rabbi Shmuel. It's all one and not four separate mitzvahs, and therefore, if one of your tzitzis is possible, then don't wear your talis altogether, and don't wear it on Shabbos, and don't make a bracha, because it's a possible talis, even though the other three are perfect. One corner is no good. He was walking after him on the Shabbos of the Regel. That means before Yom Tov, there was always that Shabbos where they held all the drushes. They covered the Yom Tov, they went and told all of the, that was the Ben Ezmanim, and the people came together to hear the Shabbos Segul drusha, the Shabbos Shiva drusha, etc., to hear the drushes. If the Karna the Chute, he saw that one of the Karanais, the Chutim, the Tzitzis, got puzzled, and it was falling apart, or whatever, and he didn't say a word. And Matkal Beisei, when he came home, Amalei, he told him, I didn't want to tell you anything in the middle of the street, when we had some Ipsik back 5 blocks ago when we were walking down the street. Unfortunately, your talis got caught somewhere on something or other, and Nebuch, that the chut and the tzitzis on the fourth quarter, Nebuch got cut off. Amalei, he should have gone and told me, because had you told me, should he say, then I would have taken my talis off. This way, Bishogig, I've been wearing a pasul talis all along. Fake tomorrow, he would have taken it off. It's not a covet for a Talmud Chacham to walk down the street and start taking off his clothing, taking off his tzitzis. What would the Belt say? Yeah, it looks terrible. So therefore, what was his taina? I would have taken it off. He didn't have to take it off. Only Balabdulay Sasha. This is not a general rule about this covered abrius, because with that, unfortunately, people can make loopholes and then cut out of it half in a title. It's only by a loy saucer. Loy saucer means only by a draban. Well, the iser is loy saucer min hadaber sheyigid lecha yom nesmar. So what type of iser drabanan? So Rashi says, little marshal, you're not allowed to go and touch stones on Shabbos. The reason why is because they're muktzah, because they don't have any utility. However, when you have avonim mekur zolois, you have avonim which are cut in such a fashion that they could be used as a substitute for toilet paper. In the good old days, they didn't have the toilet paper that you throw down, it feels like cotton, like sheep, and like that, when the fancy schmancy ads that they show, cantonelle, or whatever the things are called. Anyway, the point is that Avonim Mikuzolis, says Rashi, that you are allowed to go and use in a basic kisa mishum covered up rios. However, to go and carry in the street, which is an Issa D'Araisa, one of the Lamates Malachas, there is no such thing of Godel covered rios. You take a question of time. Good. There was another version of the story where it was Punfaket. What was that? Mihasam Amalek. Oh. Tak in the middle of the street, immediately stopped him. Who are these two people? This was Ravina and Marber Lashi. And he stopped, he said, Oh, you're talis. Guess what happened? And what was the purpose of his telling him that? Presumably, remove your talis, that you shouldn't go and be carrying down the street. is Mahasam Amlaitaka told him in the street. Vyamulani told him back, my daita, Lemishtaya, are you telling me that I should go and take it off me? Why didn't you wait until I get home? Why do you have to tell me now in the middle of the street? Presumably you wanted to tell me that because you wanted me to take the talis off. And therefore I don't have to take it off. So you didn't have to tell me now. You could have waited until we got home. I bring you more about Teguma Rabbar Shwa Kamid of Kana, the Labdulay saucer. This was not a Labdulay saucer. He should have thanked him. He should have said, Shkoyach, this is a dear Isa. I don't want to be over a dear Isa of carrying in the street. Thank you for telling me. Why did he criticize him and told him, I don't have to take it off? God will cover prayers. He was not told Rishi Saram, it was in the Karmelis. The holding of Karmelis and carrying is only the Rabbanan. Oh, it's the Rabbanan. So then we have the law of God will cover prayers. And therefore, Itaka should have taken it off, and that's the reason. I'm sorry, he should not have taken it off because of the Kalabrias, and therefore, he told him, you didn't have to tell me now. You could have waited until we get home because we're in a karmas. Have a wonderful day.